Hello, this is Pam Strand, your podcast host, and welcome to the Longevity Gym. Today's longevity conversation is about answering the question, how do you manage your stress and anxiety? This question was posted in an online community that I'm part of, and I was very interested in the conversation. This question is something I have been exploring for the last 3 to 4 years. You see, stress is my nemesis. And if I'm being really honest, it's been my nemesis for pretty much all of my professional life. I'm in the process of completing a coaching certification in this area, and the course materials have opened my eyes to two things. One, that stress is not just what we worry about, and two, that how we recover from stress or recover from the demands and challenges we experience in life ultimately determines whether stress is beneficial to us or not. I've used the course's framework to evaluate my stress levels, to see where stress is occurring in my life, and to learn how I could improve my recovery practices. It's really all of these things, being aware of your stress, intentionally manage them, and incorporating recovery practices into your schedule. These are the things that encompass the concept of stress management. I'm often asked the best way to restore the energy that we all seem to lose as we age. I believe a big part of restoring and then maintaining our energy as our body gets older is through stress management and through being far more mindful than we were in our younger years to factor into our days very intentional recovery time and practices. It's in strategically managing our stress and intentionally managing our recovery that we restore and even increase our energy levels. So I thought that I would share with you what I do in my journey in the hope that it might give you some ideas on how you could manage or maybe better manage your stress and recovery so you have the energy you want to have to enjoy your life. The important thing I've learned is to acknowledge that stress and how we manage and recover from stress is a highly personal process. Not only does it take us to areas in our life where we might not want a light shown and where we might want to keep what we find personal, but it's also personal because what we view and experience as stressful is unique to us, our body, and our life circumstances. And what our bodies and minds need to recover from stress is also unique to us. But we certainly can learn from other people's journeys. In this online group, the members shared what was working for them. And I do many of the things that were mentioned in this conversation. Breath work, using specific breath work techniques, meditation, mindfulness, walking in nature, getting out in the sunshine, and combining moving and breathing together in a mindful practice. That's really something that's fun and meaningful to me. But in my journey, I realized that this was not enough for me, at least at this point in time. Yes, they do rebalance my body and my mind in the moment. But they aren't enough to rebalance my body and bring it back to the baseline energy levels on a consistent basis. I can tell I'm not there because my energy levels and that feeling of ease are not where I would like them to be. My energy still feels a little sluggish and heavy. Plus, I'm still working through unwinding myself from some unhealthy coping mechanisms that I seem to have acquired during all my stressful times and ones that I would like to remove from my life, such as overeating, overcaffeinating, scrolling mindlessly on social media, and drinking that extra glass of wine in the evening. Another thing that I have learned is that stress management and recovery from stress does take some work retraining your systems, particularly your nervous system, and your systems and patterns of thoughts and beliefs about stress and its implications in your life. There is a process called neuroplasticity that occurs in the nervous system. This simply means that the nervous system, as well as the brain, can change, grow, and get better through their mechanisms for rewriting and making new neural connections. But it does take finding the right set of practices and the right amount of frequency and intensity that makes a difference in your systems. Simply put, one and done is not a principle that works in the case of managing stress and recovery. It requires ongoing practice and effort, just like fitness. I do use a wearable device to measure my stress and recovery. I monitor my resting heart rate, my breathing rate, sleeping heart rate variability, recovery score, and sleep score. I know that sounds like a lot, but that's the beauty of a wearable device. It consolidates all of this into one place, creating your own individual dashboard on how your body and its systems are doing and responding to your life. I'm currently testing a device that has a stress index number, which I find fascinating, and shows the activation of my sympathetic and parasympathetic nervous systems. It tells me how much my systems are mobilized and on the go, and how much my systems are in relaxed mode, where they have the opportunity to recover and actually adapt to the demands of my life. This confirms my observations that I still have a way to go. And what I like about the data I get from my wearable device is that I have a lens of objectivity through which to fine-tune what I'm doing. And that lens also keeps me accountable and honest with myself on what is working and what is not. It is a mirror to you and your life. The view is not always what you would like to see, but it is the view. Here are the big things that I'm working on. And before I list those, I want you to know that these are definitely reducing my stress levels and definitely reducing the symptoms that I had, the heart palpitations, the chronic tight muscle, the foggy brain. They're also helping me manage my stress more effectively, and they're reducing the frequency of the random exhaustion I would feel from time to time. But most importantly, I'm sleeping better, my energy is up, and there's a greater sense of ease and satisfaction in my days. And plus, I can feel my creative energy coming back, which is really important to me. So here's my list of five. One, I'm doing a better job at managing the mental and emotional demands that come from my line of work, which is working one-on-one with people who are creating change in their lives. My coursework taught me that this is a real demand on coaches, personal trainers, healthcare providers, therapists. I never gave it a thought, nor did I ever factor it into my considerations of client load, work hours, and my overall schedule, where I would schedule lunchtime breaks, times to de-stress. And this has been an eye-opener to me, and something that I really do want to and need to factor into how I organize my work, especially now that I'm creating a new chapter in my professional life post-pandemic. I do want to do a better job of proactively managing the demands on me, my body, and my mind. I realize I can no longer just throw myself at my work and expect to be able to sustain being at my best for my clients and for myself. That just leads to burnout, or almost burnout, which I've experienced more times than I would like to admit in my life. I have made several changes to my work. I've reduced my client load. I've decreased my work hours. And I set healthier boundaries around how much I give of myself to my work and to my clients. As I said, this type of stress was a big eye-opener from the course. It has me very curious about other ways that my mental and emotional energy gets stressed and drained. I'm giving serious thought to what being online and on electronic devices and screens so much of my workday does to my brain waves and to my mental stress. I know I get better sleep and am more present in my life when I have fewer hours of screen time. I just haven't quite figured out what the balance is yet, but I'm very fascinated about this aspect of doing online work. The second thing on my list, I have increased the amount of time I am around my most positive, supported friends and family, and the amount of time I'm around people in general. I live by myself, I work from home, and I live in a very quiet apartment building. I can go days without much human connection. And I learned that people not only help us manage stress, but being around people in positive, supportive, joyous ways also helps us downregulate from stress. In other words, people help us recover from stress and then return to our steady, dynamic equilibrium of energy. In fact, the lack of social connections, and this is something else that I've learned from the course, that the lack of social connections, specifically the type and the frequency of interactions that match your preference and needs, is a form of stress in and of itself. As humans, we are wired to be connected. And when we are not, our systems can interpret that as a threat to our survival and respond accordingly. It keeps us Our systems in this situation keep us alert and keep us mobilized. In addition to being around friends and being around more people, I also work to put more joy in the littlest of interactions that I have. I'm smiling, waving, sharing a word with people I encounter during my day, whether that's at the coffee shop, at the dog daycare place, in the checkout line at the grocery store, or during my walks. It is quite fun and actually very rejuvenating and increases my energy levels. The third thing on my list, I've shifted my exercise and movement to be more restorative than vigorous. My strength training is less intensive than it was and includes more body weight and simple movements. My aerobic exercise is light to moderate, and I do more moving and breathing just for fun. I'm also being very careful with intense exercise. I know I need intensity from a health and fitness perspective, and a good bout of intense exercise is a great way to burn off some stress. But over the long run, I've learned, it can add to a chronic stress level in my body. And from a longevity perspective, increasing the accumulation of stress on the body can actually speed up the aging process, causing us to lose more of that vital energy we seek to enjoy our life. My fourth area of focus is nutrition. Nutrition is an area that I know is ripe with opportunities for me with respect to managing stress, reducing anxiety, and improving my ability to bounce back from stress. I'm doing more investigation and studies here on what is going to work for me. But in the meantime, I'm making some small, simple wins. I am making sure I'm getting more nutrient-dense foods in my diet wherever I can, making sure I have the right amount of protein in my diet. I'm eating at consistent times, and I'm staying hydrated. And I'm also working to stick with one cup of coffee a day and drink wine infrequently, if at all. These two things can amplify stress and anxiety. And fifth and finally, boundaries. I am working to stay very tuned in to where I need to set boundaries. If I feel my energy getting zapped or frazzled, I pause and I take a look at that. I heard someone once say, "The point in which you lose yourself is the place you need a boundary." And I'm trying to put that in practice in my life. I have far more boundaries which honor what is healthy and best for me. I pay attention to how much I give of myself and my energy to my work, to people, to various situations in my life. I have found there's a fine line here, but it equates to the saying of putting on your own oxygen mask first before helping others put theirs on. It's not selfish to manage your energy in a way that is most healthy for you. That way, you can in turn do your best work and be at your best self when you are interacting with others, whether that be in your personal or professional life. So that's my list, the five main things that I am doing to get better at managing stress and recovery in my life. Those five things again are: 1, getting better at managing my mental and emotional stress. 2, I'm increasing the time and frequency of social connections that are most supportive, energizing, and meaningful to me. And 3, I'm shifting my exercise to more restorative rather than vigorous at this time. 4, I'm getting myself and my mindset ready to tackle my nutrition so that my body can be less stressed and recover more effectively. And in the meantime, I'm putting back into place some important nutritional habits that are easy wins for me. And finally, 5, I'm setting boundaries that honor what is healthy for me and my energy. I hope that this discussion has provided a nugget or two for you to improve how you manage stress and recovery so that you can have the energy you would like to enjoy your life. Be sure to email me if you have any questions or would like to share any breakthrough or aha moments that you experienced while listening and pondering this podcast episode. My email is pam@strandfitnessonline.com. It's also in the show notes below. And I invite you to sign up for my newsletter if you're not already on my email list. My newsletters go out about every 2 weeks. In them, I announce new podcast episodes and ways to work with me. And I also share tips for living longer, stronger, and better. You can use the sign-up form in the show notes below. So that's a wrap. Thank you for tuning in, and I will see you next time.